League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello, everyone. Today, we are talking baseball. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. Today is Thursday, October 6th. I'm Gino. I'm joined by Darren and Kevin. You can listen to us any way you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, send us posts, thoughts, questions. As the quote from the movie From Sandlot goes, remember, kid, there's heroes and there's legends, and heroes get remembered, but legends never die. We played 162 games. The season is over. The playoffs start tomorrow, and this is where legends are made of. Guys, let's get it going. How are we doing tonight?
Doing good. Ready to talk some baseball. How about you, Kev?
Yep. Ready for the playoffs to start tomorrow.
Okay. I'm gonna kick us off because I want to talk a little bit about the excitement of the Tampa Bay Rays and the Cleveland Guardians. The fact that I got that right is the most impressive part to me at this point. I didn't call them the Indians today, which is really cool. Okay, when we go through this series, right, just breaking it down, these are two teams that have been built by their pitching, okay? Offense has been an issue for both squads throughout the season. There are stars on each team, don't get me wrong, but this is really going to come down to the starting staffs and the closers, to be perfectly honest with you. Tampa, you know, Juan DeFranco did not have the second season everyone expected. Arozarena came on kind of strong toward the second half, but got off to a slow start. Yandy Diaz was probably the most consistent player on this team, but he has no power. Isaac Paredes hit 20 homers. So, I mean, they have some guys that can hit the ball, but this is not an offense that scares you. They're the lowest-ranked slugging team in the playoffs. The strength of this team is going to be McClanahan and the rotation. He was lights out in the first half, was really good in the second half. He started the All-Star game, right? And then he had a little bit of neck injury down the stretch. But overall, this team is really built on their pitching. So Tyler Glasnow, two starts back from Tommy John, looked pretty good. They're stretching him out already. He's going to be part of it. Drew Rasmussen and Jeffrey Springs also had great seasons. So Tampa's built by how well they're going to pitch. The bullpen's by committee, always has been. So when you look at Tampa, they have the most blown saves in baseball, but they also have the most holds because they have a lot of guys that go four. We didn't even mention Kluber. He probably won't see the light of day in this series because of the other arms that they have. Closers on this team, Adam and Fairbanks, they both had eight saves. That tells you that they really kind of do it all by committee. When we go to Cleveland, right? Cleveland was built by the Mets. Andrés Giménez had an outstanding year. Ahmed Rosario was really, really good. You know, those guys were like a major part of it. But again, offensively, it's Jose Ramirez and a bunch of other guys for the most part. You know, Oscar Gonzalez came up in May and he had a solid season in right field. You know, Kwan had an amazing start to his season in left. I think he didn't strike out for the first how many at bats. I can't remember exactly, but it was some sort of thing he had going on. So had a couple of nice rookies. And this team also, same as the Rays, it's about Bieber and Tristan McKenzie and Cal Quantrill. And the difference between these two teams is they have the legit closer in Clase, who can kind of come in there, and he had an excellent year with nice setup guys like Karinchak and Stefan. So this is going to be a pitcher series. A lot of this points to the Guardians just being a little bit better than Tampa, just because, you know, when you look at this, you notice I didn't name a big-time power-hitting first baseman, and I didn't name this great DH because neither one of these teams have it. It's a really It's a really interesting series. There's no other real way to put it in the fact that we're really going to be – it's going to come down to who's winning these pitchers' duels, and in a three-game set, it could be anywhere. So that's my little quick synopsis. Comments on that, boys?
I'll tell you right off the bat. I'm going to build right off what you said. For Tampa to win this, their pitching needs to be superb. The starters need to go deep. And even if they don't go deep, they need to get to that bullpen, which is a deep, deep bullpen. The problem for Tampa, I think it could be they may just not hit enough. Other than a Rosarena, the whole team may just not hit enough. I mean, I'm just building off what you said, but that's the key for them in this series. For Cleveland, it's a little bit different. You know, they're great with contact hitting. They're good with speed, good defense. They have a dominant bullpen. The thing that could mess them up is the lack of power. You know, other than Ramirez, they're going to do a lot of contact hitting, but not much power. But the same thing is they're going to try to get to that dominant bullpen as quick as they can. Once those starters have run out of gas, they're going to be going. I see a lot of bullpen pitchers being used in this series between both teams. Kev, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd just be picking back and on both of you guys. Same thoughts. The Rays, you know, you mentioned Glasnow. Is he going to be an opener type? Try to go out there and give him his best two or three innings in game. I assume he would pitch game two or game three if needed. It's going to be a bullpen series. Whichever bullpen is a stronger one wins the series. Neither one, like you said, is a strong offensive team. The edge would be to the Guardians. But I could see this. Out of the four series, I think this one has the best chance of going three games.
I agree with you on that. The funny thing is, Cleveland is counting on a guy like Josh Naylor to give them some power. And Tampa is counting on Isaac Paredes. These are not guys in the beginning of the year that were even figured into their lineups, right? And then you take the two rookies in Cleveland and Straw, actually, if you count him in center, it's like a really, I don't know, it's a really, it's an outfield that you wouldn't have counted on as a playoff outfield for a division winner. But there you are. I mean, it's going to be an interesting battle. You know, McClanahan can go deeper into games. Bieber can go deeper into games. Game one is going to turn, is going to set the tail, I think, on this series. I mean, I'm going to give you my prediction on this right now. Because of how they play and because they're feisty as hell, I think Tampa finds a way to win this series in three. I think Cleveland is better. And I think that Arozarena has this magic in the playoffs. I think that Juan DeFranco is still this phenom that awakens to the national audience. And I think that the Yankees just don't want to play them enough that I'm going to have to face them in the second round. So I'm going to say that Tampa wins this one in three. G?
I'm going to go the opposite way. I think it's Cleveland's to lose. I'm really on this home game thing. Three games in your own building, I think that's hard for a visitor to come in, win two in the playoffs like that in a row. I'm going Cleveland. Kev?
I agree with Gino. I'm going Cleveland in three. I think their offense just enough better than the Tampa to win the series in three.
By the way, we didn't touch on it much. I love the fact that the higher seed gets all three games at home. I think this, I mean, I know it's for travel purposes, but I think you deserve to have the reward. I just do. So I'm really glad about that. So
I like
okay.
It.
So we are different in this. I have Tampa. You guys have Cleveland. The winner plays the Yankees. G, I'm passing it off to you for the other American League wild card series.
Okay. So Seattle will play Toronto. Seattle back in the playoffs for the first time since 2001. Jays have been there a couple years ago, so nothing new for them. But Seattle, all these guys have not seen the postseason. Toronto has these big starters in Manoah and Gausman and Berrios. Seattle's got some big starters too in Luis Castillo and Ray and Gilbert. It's going to be a battle between these teams. Seattle, we're going to see the Julio Rodriguez show come to Toronto. Should be interesting. I mean, the kid hit 28 home runs, had 25 stolen bases as a rookie. Suarez, France. I mean, they got some hitters in that lineup. They're not going to go quietly. You know, the funny thing about Seattle was they were 29-39 on June 19th. And then for the rest of the season, they went 61-33, which is just playing at an outrageous pace. they really don't have any one big guy in the bullpen, but between Sewald and Munoz, they can basically take care of business against righties and lefties. So they'll be okay at that point. Toronto has got all the power. I mean, the lineup is stacked. It's Vlad. It's Chapman. It's Teoscar Hernandez. It's Spencer. It's Springer. It's freaking Bichette. I mean, even the catcher spot, they platooned Kirk and Jansen, and both of those guys hit fourth for a good portion of the season. You know, they're going to blast the ball out of the ballpark. The back end of the rotation, you know, you're going to see – you may see Stripling go to the bullpen. It could help. You know, Romano's at the back end, not the dominant closer that we've seen with some of these teams, but really good, had 42 saves this year, so he's not going away. They have a lot of good arms, active arms in that pen. For me, there's two keys. For Seattle to win this, the pitching has to carry them. They have to pitch better than Toronto. And for Toronto, if their offense catches fire at all, they're going to cruise through three games at home. Again, I'm on this home field thing because I just think these home teams have a big advantage. What do you guys think?
I think the Blue Jays offense will carry the series. Like you went through the names. Their lineup is so deep. I don't think the Mariners match up anywhere near it. I think the Blue Jays have just enough pitching. And I don't see this being more than a two-game sweep by the Blue Jays, to be honest with you.
I would tend to agree with you on the sweep. I mean, the thing about it is that when you look at Seattle's offense, and it's not a bad offense, it's just not a really good offense. It's kind of middle of the road. Toronto's is exceptional. And in a short series where you don't know is going to pitch game one, you figure he wins it. it's hard to imagine he doesn't. I think it's a sweep. I think it's a two-game sweep for Toronto. I hate to agree. I'd rather be have us one of us different. But I just don't think that, you know, when Seattle's waiting for Suarez, they get off the DL because he's their best player, and Cincinnati couldn't wait to get rid of him. It just tells me that their offense isn't up to par in this matchup. I wouldn't be surprised if these are two games where the Blue Jays scored at least 7 or 8 runs. G?
Yeah, I'm all on Toronto. I think that's the way we're going with this. Toronto, by the way, is a heavy favorite to win this wild card round. They're at -170. Seattle's only at +140. Toronto is basically the highest team on the board right now. So, moving along, let's go to the National League. Kev, we're going to talk about St. Louis and Philadelphia.
Yep. St. Louis is division winner in the Central, facing the sixth seed, the Philadelphia Phillies. These two teams met in early July over the course of 2 weeks. I think it was two different weekends. Philly took the series 4-3. This, I think, the overall series is going to come down really to the Phillies' bullpen. When you look at the starting matchups, Philly's going to come out with Wheeler, Nola, and if they need to go to game three, they've got Suarez, who got off to a rough start, but has pitched a lot better in the second half. And St. Louis would counter with Quintana, who's a trade deadline pickup, Mikolas. And right now they haven't announced a third game three starter. You think it would probably be Montgomery, Wainwright's possibility. The thing is, these St. Louis pitchers pitch to contact. They do not strike out batters. And when you face that Phillies lineup and you've got the power, you've got Harper, Schwarber, Hoskins, Realmuto, there's so much power there that you really want the strikeout pitcher, I think, to combat them. And I don't think St. Louis has it. The big difference is going to be in the bullpen, I think. St. Louis, Helsley has had a great year. 1.25 ERA, 0.74 whip, 94 strikeouts and 64 innings. And when you look at the other guys towards the back end of the bullpen, you've got Gallegos. You got some young guys in Thompson and Woodford who have pitched very well down the stretch here. And you throw in a couple other guys like Genesis Cabrera, Andre Pallant. You just feel like St. Louis has that depth. The Phillies right now have Zach Elfin closing. I just don't see where you can have confidence in Elfin. They've used Sir Anthony Dominguez a little bit there, but he struggled a lot. You've got the old veteran there, the ex-Yankee Dave Robertson. You've got Alvarado. But, boy, that bullpen, I think, had an ERA over 5 coming down the stretch in September. That just scares you. And when you look at St. Louis's lineup, you know, I mentioned old power for the Phillies. Not quite as deep, but, boy, when you start a lineup with Goldschmidt and Arenado, if Pujols can ever keep this going, you've got guys like Edmund to set the table. One last run for Molina behind the plate. This is going to be a very interesting series. What do you guys think?
So I'm going to touch on a couple of things you said. I think for Philadelphia to win, the bullpen has to be solid. Nola has to be lights out. I think for Philly to win, that's the way they're going to win. I think their hitters will hit. To what degree, I think, is the other part of this, but they'll hit the ball. What gets Philadelphia knocked out is if all of those hitters you just talked about hit nothing. So between Harper and Schwarber and Hoskins, Realmuto, there are no home runs going out of the park. I think that's how this team loses. Now, on the other side with St. Louis, I think the key to them winning is the ghosts of years past, because it's got to be Pujols, Molina, Goldschmidt, Arenado. If those guys start hitting, like the hitting they have done over the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years, this team moves on with no problem. I think the big problem for St. Louis is, does their pitching send them home? Specifically their starters, exactly what you touched on, which is they're going to pitch the contact. And does that get them eliminated? Not sure. Darren, what do you think?
I mean, you know, it all sounds a little bit like a broken record to a certain extent, but I'm going to lay out the Bryce Harper factor. He doesn't win these games. He doesn't win. The teams do better when he's hurt. I'm not saying he's not a superstar. I just think for some strange reason that St. Louis will match up well enough out of the pen to kind of neutralize Harper or Schwarber a little bit more than you would expect. And I think Arenado is a tougher guy to pitch to, and Goldschmidt, than Harper and Schwarber. I just think that they're tougher outs. Just my personal opinion. I know Schwarber had an amazing year. I know Harper's an amazing player. I think Arenado and Goldschmidt are actually just better hitters. They may not be better power hitters, but they're better hitters. The starting rotation, you're right. But the thing about Aaron Nola is he can get touched up. I think Wheeler will be fine. I think Suarez has been mostly really good, Kev. You're 100% right. The St. Louis rotation, you're going to see Wainwright because, A, you have to, because they have to pitch this guy. But, B, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw starters going 3 or 4 for St. Louis in this series. They're going to be like the Tampa of old. They're going to have their starters going 4 innings trying to get through and dance around and really rely on that pen for this 3-game set. And I think that's where their strength is. So if you were going to ask me, I think St. Louis wins this one in 3. I think it's a good series. I think it's a fun series. I think that's there's going to be a lot of drama with a lot of big bats coming to the plate with runners on base, and it's going to be if they can produce or not. And I think that St. Louis's guys will produce and Phillies won't. Kev?
Yeah, I kept going back and forth and back and forth about who I like in the series. I think St. Louis, being at home, we'll find a way to take 2 out of 3. But I think this one's going 3. Gino?
I'm going the opposite way. I think this is Philadelphia. I think at some point, the St. Louis magic between Pujols and Molina and Wainwright, I think it wears off at some point. I think this is the year it wears off. And I think Harper erases some of those ghosts that you talked about, Darren.
He doesn't win.
Well, maybe this is the year, at least to get through to this series, because the winner of that series gets Atlanta in the next round. So, but for the moment, I think Harper actually gets a little couple of wins under his belt and they get past this round. So we tackled 3 of the 4 series. Last series is the Mets and the Padres. Gonna be a dogfight, maybe. Kev, why don't you start us off with the Mets and Pods?
Yeah, a little bit of a battle here between me and Darren. Darren being the Padre fan, me being the Mets fan. I love the fact that Buck tapped Scherzer for game one. That's the guy that you want right now pitching game one. He's a bulldog. You know the intensity. You know he's going to give it everything he has. He's the guy I trust most in that rotation right now. The big question is going to be, you keep hearing the Mets are going to play these little games of maybe going Bassett game two, save DeGrom for three. And this way, if you do win in two, you go DeGrom game one the next series. I'd rather just go Scherzer DeGrom. And knowing that, you know, Bassett's had a real good year. I don't mind him pitching a deciding game.
Listen, I agree with you, Kev. You in three-game series like this, pitch your guys. I don't want to hear about what's coming up. Pitch your guys and get to the next round. So
you win game one, you're winning game two. You don't sit there and say, well, we'll be safe in game three, because anything happens in game three. Yeah. Always go back to 84, the Cubs and the Padres. We got Sutcliffe in game five. He was unbelievable. Beat Schau in game one, 10-0. And then all of a sudden, the Padres, a ball goes through Bull Durham's legs, and the Padres move on. I'm just saying, anything can happen in game three. I agree with you, Kev. Nothing against Bassett. You put your two horses out there, the guys you're paying all the money to, and you let them go.
Yep. And again, I think Bassett, I think we touched on it a little bit last night. I forget if it was during the podcast or afterwards. Bassett got a little roughed up against Atlanta last series, but that could have been a little extra rest. I think he would come back in game three if it came to that. Now, on the Padres side, you know, you're matching up against Darvish, Snell, and Musgrove. Maybe not quite the sex appeal as Scherzer DeGrom, but boy, the Mets haven't touched Darvish all year. Two games, 14 innings, six hits, one run. If they see that Darvish, that's going to make game one extremely difficult to win. Where I do see the Mets have an advantage, I think, is in the lineup. We've had we.
What are you playing third?
We have, again, with the we.
Listen, you're passionate about your team. Go forward. Don't worry about the we.
You've got the guy tied for the major league lead in RBIs in Alonso. You have Francisco Lindor with over 100 RBIs. You've got Jeff McNeil, who led the major leagues in batting average. Nimmo was solid. The guy you miss really now is Starling Marte. He just gives you so much in that top of that lineup. He's the biggest blow. But again, doing a little comparison, I know Darren will get more into it. You look at that Padres lineup, you've got Machado. Soto's starting to warm up. He got off to a bad start after the trade deadline. He's starting to heat up. But the rest of the lineup, it's like, I don't see the big names in there. I don't see the production in there any better than, you know, the bottom half of the Mets lineup. So I think the top four or five for the Mets are better than the Padres. Bullpens, which Hader do you get? Hader was awful in August right after the trade deadline. He picked it up big time. He's pitching real well now. He can really turn a series around. He can go multiple innings. We've seen that before with Milwaukee. You've got Garcia and the other Suarez, Robert Suarez, down in the bullpen. To me, they match up pretty equally with Ottavino, Lugo, Smith. I think Joely does get in there. You know, but everybody rips on Joely since August 1st. 23 innings, 2.74 ERA, 1.09 WHIP. He has pitched better. Do I trust him in the big spot? No. But, you know, maybe he can get a big out in the sixth inning. I don't trust him late in the game, that's for sure. Darren, Padres perspective, what do you think?
Well, here's the thing, right? You talked about Darvish. Snell has been lights out the second half of the year. He started off horrendously, all right? He was horrendous. It was 0-7, 0-6, something like that. His ERA in the second half of the year is like a 2.19, something like that. It's something impressive. Darvish has been great against the Mets, and he's a really good pitcher. But when push comes to shove, if they pitch it right, Would you rather have Scherzer or Darvish? You'd rather have Scherzer. Would you rather have Snell or would you rather have DeGrom? You'd rather have DeGrom. So actually the only edge I would give it, and you might disagree, is I think Musgrove's a little bit better than Bassett. I just think he's got stuff that could be a little bit more overpowering.
Yep, only reason why.
But one and two, I think the edge in the starting rotation, slight in both games, not slight in the second one, slight in the first one, a little bit larger in the second one, goes to the Mets if the Mets pitch it right. The Padres have no advantage in the lineup except for two positions, which are third base and right field. But those are two huge wins, okay? The Mets don't have anybody dominant outside of Alonso in their position one-on-one. I mean, Lindor is better than Kim, so 2-2, I'd say, right? The McNeil and Cronenworth are probably as similar as you could get, except that last year Cronenworth hit the 300, and this year McNeil hit the 300. Cronenworth has a little bit more pop. They're both scrappy, left-handed hitters. Cronenworth hits for a little more power. McNeil's a little bit more consistent. What the Padres miss is Tatis, and he's not there. If Tatis was playing, I would give them a real shot because the bullpen, I don't love the Mets setup as much as you do when you talk about it. I think the Padres setup might even be a little bit better, but Diaz has been the best pitcher and closer in baseball this year. He's been untouchable. So it's almost like, even though we don't know what he'll do in a playoff spot, you'll almost feel like he is the difference maker. Hader, again, he's been great in September, but he was awful in July when before Milwaukee traded him, and he was awful in August when the Padres just got him. You know, Bell has not hit like they thought he would. You know, now you're playing a guy like Will Myers, who's streaky as hell. So you don't know if you're going to get Will Myers where he's on a seven-game tear or Will Myers where he strikes out nine times and 12 at-bats in a three-game set. You just don't know what you're going to get from any of these guys. Jurickson Profar had a really nice year, but he doesn't even hit 250. You know, I mean, it's like the lineup, like you said, is the biggest difference, and it doesn't match up. The Padres' chance to win it is if Soto, who likes playing against the Mets, let's be honest, has a series. If Soto becomes the guy they can't pitch to, if Soto becomes the guy that can destroy them with Machado batting behind them, that's the Padres' chance. If 2-3-4 with Cronenworth behind them are able to cause havoc, that's the only chance the Pods have. But if they're able to pitch to Soto and Machado and get through it, I think the Mets win two low-scoring games and sweep it. I think it's like 3-2 and 3-1 type thing. Gino, your thoughts?
So I'm going to go against the grain with both of you because I'm gonna take San Diego to win this series. I think this is the time for Soto to shine. I think Soto and Machado have big series. And I think Hader becomes the lockdown closer that they traded for during the year. I think No Marte hurts the Mets lineup big time. And I just don't think we're getting 100% DeGrom out of this. I think this it goes three games. I think it's close. I'm not going to tell you that I'm not rooting for the Mets because I'm going to root for the Mets. But I am taking San Diego to win this in three games. And I think the offseason becomes really big for the Mets and everybody pulls to make sure that this whole team is healthy going into the year because I think that's the thing that's going to decide this right now. Kev?
I'm going to take my Mets in two games. I have to.
Listen, I'm rooting for the Pods, but I took the Mets too, so I'm with you.
And like you said, you know, when you look at the only thing that scares me in that bullpen, I know I mentioned the three guys, Ottavino, Lugo, Smith. When they're on. But you're afraid that frisbee slider that Ottavino throws, boy, if he hangs one to Machado, that's going a long way. Lugo's been, again, lights out most of the time, but boy, he hangs a curveball, that can be gone. Drew Smith throws too straight a fastball, that can be gone. You know, these guys have given up home runs this year. That's the only thing that scares me about that bullpen. Like I said, when they're on. And on the offensive side for San Diego, like you said, Darren, that's, you know, does Soto play against the Mets like he usually does? that would be scary. Without Soto, you can pitch around Machado a little bit and deal with the rest of the lineup. They're almost carbon. They're very similar lineups. Neither team steals much. They're both in the bottom third in the league in steals. Neither team strikes out a lot. They're both in the top third, fewest strikeouts. So they're very similar teams. Given that Petco is probably even a little harder place to hit than Citi Field, you know, we factor that into the equation. Overall, the batting numbers are a slight edge to the Mets, but I think they are very closely matched up, and this should be a good low-scoring series. Like Darren said, you know, 2-1, 3-2 type games would not surprise me.
The key for the pods is going to be Cronenworth, okay? Because you know the two guys that are going to that you have to deal with. When you get through those two guys, even if you walk them both or you get one out and you walk the other, one guy gets a walk and a single or whatever it is, it's going to be, are they going to be able to pitch to Cronenworth, who's not, his average is 241, okay? Don't get me wrong. I know he didn't hit for average, but the guy hits doubles, the guy hits homers, the guy scores and drives and runs. He's a 90 ribby guy. He's a 90 run score guy. You wouldn't know it by looking at his stats, by just looking at the way he played, because he's normally a 300 hitter that just was very streaky this year. If he can come around, the Padres become dangerous, because now your whole middle of the order is something that you have to be nervous about. But after that, you know, you have to get like a, I mean, this is like sitting there as a Met fan saying, you know, we're really counting on Escobar. If Escobar delivers all day long, we're going to be great. You know, you want him to do it. He's a good player, but you're not going into the series saying Escobar's your guy. You're going into the series saying McNeil. You're going in there saying Alonso. You're going in there saying Lindor. You're going in there saying these are my guys.
Yep.
The Padres have to rely on guys that you're not expecting. Neither team gets hitting from their catching. You know, they're this is like a carbon copy lineup, like you said, and I give the edge in each of the first two games to the Mets starter. The negative is that both Scherzer and DeGrom can be tagged. They usually aren't, but it can happen. Snell usually is not tagged. His problem will be if he walks you around the bases. Darvish kind of in a similar way. He doesn't give up a ton of homers on a regular basis, but when he has a bad game, he implodes. So you don't know what you're going to get. It should be a really exciting series, though. I think it's going to be one of those nail-biting things where every time in the seventh and eighth inning of every game, whether it goes two or three, you're biting your nails on every pitch because the next guy up is going to – it could tie it up at any moment. You're in that kind of a series, more so than the other three. Maybe Cleveland, Tampa a little bit similar, but you don't have the faith in the offense to do it. Well, with San Diego and the Mets, there's a few guys in that lineup. You're like, oh, my God. I got to get Alonso out. I got to get Machado out type thing. So yep. It should be like real nail-biting baseball to me, just my take. And if the Mets lose the series like Gino's predicting, does DeGrom opt out, Kev?
Yes.
Does he sign with Atlanta immediately, or does he wait for the house to be built?
He waits for the house to be built.
So, I'm sorry,
Kev. He'll go the highest bidder.
It's all about the school systems. That's Mike Hampton. G, yep. What are you saying?
So I went against the odds with both NL teams to win the wild card round. And if you took Philadelphia to win the wild card round and San Diego to win the wild card round and put them in a parlay, it would be plus 414, which is actually pretty good odds. I will tell you a couple of things. So based on everything we just talked about, most home runs in the wild card round, you figure if Seattle's going to do it, a good bet is Julio Rodriguez at plus 1,700. You can get Schwarber at plus 2,000. You can get Vlad at plus 1,700. Another one, which you're going to have to figure happens, is if the Mets are going to win, Alonso's going to hit. Alonso, most home runs in the wild card round, is plus 1,700. Same thing with Alonso, though. Most total bases in the wild card round, Alonso's at plus 2,500, which I kind of like, along with Jose Ramirez at plus 2,500, which I think is some pretty good odds. That's all I have for the wild card round. I do have some other winners we can go through, but do you guys have anything else with the wild card round games?
I was just going to say one thing just about the matchups. If it goes the way we think, we will see the Yankees play Tampa. You will see Toronto play Houston. Can you imagine that? Those lineups going at each other. You will see the Mets and the Dodgers. The networks will love it, and the baseball will be great. And you will see the Cardinals take on the Braves in those two teams that are always freaking there, right? If we're right, and it's not like we're out on limbs. I mean, I also went away. I took Tampa it would be Cleveland and the Yankees, not Tampa, because you guys both had Cleveland. My mistake. So, but it would be four really, really exciting series going five games next week. And I think a lot of them will go four or five in that. Just my take. Kev, anything else?
Just waiting for first pitch tomorrow.
We'll be working, but hopefully I'll try to catch it where I can.
A couple of odds I'll just give you, and that is to win the American League, Houston right now is at plus 175. The Yankees at plus 205. Everybody else is greater than 550. And on the NL side, the Dodgers are plus 170. Atlanta's at plus 225. The Mets are at plus 500 to win the NL. And that's only because they're going to have to go through San Diego and then the Dodgers and then probably the Braves. So it's a heavy haul for them. But then after that, St. Louis, Philadelphia, and San Diego are all greater than plus 950, which is really steep. I will tell you this. To win the World Series right now, if you love the Mets, it's plus 900. If you love the Yankees, it's plus 550. And the ultimate bet would be the Yankees beat the Mets in the World Series, and that's going off right now at plus 2,800. So bet $100, win $2,800, which is a pretty big haul for a $100 bet.
You all love that. Kevin likes it when the Mets beat the Yankees in this series, but
and that's probably even higher odds.
1986 was a long time ago, my friend.
It was.
So yeah, I mean, listen, you know. It's going to be exciting. Three game sets. We haven't seen this before. New format. I actually like it. I love the no travel because can you imagine having to go New York, San Diego, back to New York? Can you imagine where the starter has to stay out in San Diego for game two? Toronto and St. Louis, Toronto and Seattle, the same thing. It would just be a train wreck. Even Cleveland, Tampa isn't that short a flight. I mean, it's not long, but it's not as the others, but it's brutal. It's not as brutal. I mean, but it's still not nice. This is great. Three-game series, best team wins. You know, most of the series should be competitive. I'd be surprised if we didn't get to see some really good baseball this weekend.
I think especially for St. Louis and Cleveland to get the three games at home. They won the division. They deserve some reward. So I think having the three games at home is a nice bonus for them.
Agreed. Any other thoughts, G?
Just one thing about the playoffs, if I heard right, revert back to the extra inning rules. No ghost runner to start the 10th inning. They're playing it out. So
correct.
None of this BS of the regular season. These games correct. Could go 17, 18 innings.
Yeah, which is the way it should be. The ghost runner thing is crap. I know they're trying to speed up the game for people like Gino that don't have the attention span. But some of us like baseball. Some of us like the sport, Gino. Kevin and I do.
That is one rule I don't like. I do not like the ghost runner.
Kev, what about the DH in the National League? How you feel about that?
I still hate it.
Get G?
I love it.
But
Gino's going to be an offense, and Kevin and I are all about pitching and defense.
Well, look who the Mets have had at DH all year.
I like it. I like it because there's one rule. And if we had gone the other way and they would have had the pitchers hit in both leagues, I'd be fine with that also. I just wanted one rule across all Major League Baseball. That was my only problem with it.
I read the stat, and Jacob DeGrom starts. The Mets DHs are 4-for-40. DeGrom's got to be sitting there going, I could do better than that.
This has been Met hierarchy pitching forever. When Matt Harvey had his couple of really good years, They didn't hit for him either. This is just the way they work for the Mets. When Dwight Gooden was really good, usually he was hitting for himself.
Yeah. Mets always had good hitting pitchers.
They always did, Darling. You know, these guys can really hit. Anyway, so we are the Sports Kings from Queens. This is our baseball edition, a little wild card playoff baseball preview edition. Hope you got a couple of tidbits out of this. Hope you know what you're looking for when you're watching the games. Again, download us on anywhere you get your podcast, whether it be Apple or TuneIn or Spotify or anywhere that you possibly look. You know, we're going to put up stuff on social media. Like it, share it. Tell us what you don't like. Make fun of us. Whatever it is that you want to do, please do. But just communicate with us, because what we want to do is put on the best show that we possibly can. We enjoy working together. I hope you guys feel that as well. And what we want to do is share that, you know, joy of all sports to you guys. So without further ado, may your sports be with you.
This has been the Sports Kings from Queens.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.